Let's pray, and then we'll jump into God's Word. Father, thank you for today. You are a good Father, and it is good that we can come here every week and we can worship you. Father, thank you for what happened here, first of all, yesterday. Thank you for everyone who stepped up and put a serving towel over their arm and served the community well. Thank you for the conversations. Thank you for the laughter. Thank you for what was given so that we can help this community build a park. Father, thank you that we in this church see the value of shining brightly for you in our community. Thank you, too. We see the value of shining brightly for you in the city. Thank you. In a few weeks, we get to join with churches all over the city to serve the city. Thank you for how you're taking that serve the city concept and making it into a movement in our city. We thank you for that. May it be used for your glory and your honor. Father, too, we thank you for the refugee family that's coming. We're excited. God, we've waited and they're coming. And I just pray, God, that your presence will be with them in a special way as the eight of them make their way to Victoria tomorrow. And Father, I thank you that your word speaks to us. And Father, as we continue our series, Jesus Unfiltered, looking at those powerful chapters in your word, the Sermon on the Mount. God, as we look at a very common issue today, issues that almost all of us struggle with, God, I pray you'll give us hope. I pray you'll give us victory today. In Jesus' name, amen. Question for you. How many of you worry? Some of you are perfect. Way to go. I should have a roving mic. If you didn't put up your hand, ask you what the secret is. Some people don't worry that much. Most people worry somewhat. Some people worry a whole bunch. And, you know, people today in our culture, we have a lot to worry about if we want to worry. We can worry about jobs and money and health and kids and grandkids, what people think about us, what people say about us. We can worry about our future. If you're single, you can worry about, am I ever going to get married? There's all kinds of things people can worry about. Some people even worry when they have nothing to worry about. And they worry that they have nothing to worry about. Have you met those people? Worry is a common problem. If you talk to any doctor, they'll tell you that the amount of anti-anxiety prescriptions they write are massive. It is a huge problem in North America. Anxiety and worry is out of control. Now, this is a subject that's dear to my heart, because you know how Paul talks about a thorn in the flesh? My thorn in the flesh is worry. I grew up in a family where my mom was a chronic worrier, worried about a lot, worried about everything, actually. And growing up in that environment, you come out of that environment, and you're a worrier. And I've struggled for a number of years with worry. But I can tell you now, I can stand before you and say, I basically gained victory over worry. They still are those moments, ask my wife. But I've gained victory over worry. And the passage we're going to look at today in the Sermon on the Mount was absolutely instrumental in me gaining victory. And so I'm hoping that if you're struggling with worry this morning, if worry is a big part of your life, then I'm hoping that this morning, as we go through this passage together, that you'll be set free. That the journey to freedom will begin by hearing the Word of God this morning. And if you're worrying, don't think that you're alone or don't think it's new to our culture. People thousands of years ago worried as well. That's why Jesus addressed the whole topic of worry in the Sermon on the Mount. But before we look at what Jesus said, let me just clarify something. There's a difference between worry and concern. If you have a loved one in the hospital and you're not concerned, you're a jerk, right? You should be concerned if you have a loved one in the hospital. If you have a wayward child or grandchild, you should be concerned. Worry is concern gone haywire. Worry is concern gone haywire. Our English word for worry comes from a German word which means to choke or to strangle. And that's what worry does. Worry chokes and it strangles the life out of us. It takes the joy and just sucks it out of life. When you worry a lot, it's like you got a weight on you. It's like a black cloud over your head. When you worry, you experience symptoms like backache, stomachache, headaches. Emotionally, you become frustrated, angry, depressed. Worry can have a huge toll on our lives. And so if we want to live the abundant life that Jesus wants us to experience, as he talks about in the Gospels, then we have to deal with worry. We've got to gain victory over anxiety. And Jesus wants to set you free. Jesus wants to set you free from being captive to worry and anxiety. So let's see what he says in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 25. I'll read these verses and then we'll just journey through them together. Jesus says this to those people on the hillside. "That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food or drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. So why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, what will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today." Let's go back to verse 25, where Jesus says, "That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food or drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing?" Jesus says here, don't worry about everyday life. The word life there is talking about your whole life. Your mental life, your physical life, your emotional life, your spiritual life, your social life, your yesterday life, your today life, your future life. Jesus says, don't worry about any of that. And you go, yeah, right, Jesus. You're not living my life. If you were living my life, you would worry too. And Jesus says, no, don't worry. And we go, why not? And in this passage, Jesus gives us several reasons why we should not worry. Here's the first one. The first reason why we should not worry is because God the Father cares for the birds. Look at verse 26. "Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are?" Jesus is saying, look, My Father pays attention to the birds. He manages an entire ecosystem in a way that makes sure birds have food. Birds matter to my Father, Jesus says. And you matter more than any bird. So listen, if my Father takes care of the birds, he will also provide for and take care of you. And the second reason why we shouldn't worry is very similar to the first. It's because God the Father dresses the lilies. Look at verse 28. "And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith?" As people back then entered into this new lifestyle of following Jesus, many of them were anxious, many of them worried about whether they would have enough food, about whether they would have adequate clothing. And Jesus says to them, listen, my Father feeds the birds, so he will feed you. And my Father takes care of the flowers. I mean, look at the intricate design and beauty. So if my Father takes care of the flowers, surely he will take care of and clothe you. And do you notice Jesus is arguing here from the lesser to the greater? Jesus says, if my Father provides for the lesser, the birds and the flowers, he will certainly provide for you, those people that follow him. The question here is, do we really believe that? Do we really believe that we have a Father, a God who is our Father, who provides for the birds and provides for the flowers, and because He cares and provides for that part of His creation, He will provide and care for a much more valuable part of His creation, us? Do you believe that? Do you believe that God cares for you and wants to provide for you? The third reason why we shouldn't worry is because worry won't add anything to your life. Here's a truth I learned a long time ago. Most of the things I worry about will never happen. Have you ever noticed that? Most of the things you lose sleep over, you worry about, will never happen. And worrying doesn't make any difference to the ones that do. Have you noticed that? I mean, when I worry, I have all kinds of physical symptoms. My stomach gets in a knot. I have sleepless nights. I feel lousy. I'm grumpy. And I'm worrying about something. And then I get out of bed in the morning and I have to go deal with the something I've been worrying about. And worrying hasn't helped me deal with the problem. It's just made me grumpy. It's made me tired. And so I don't deal with the issue as well as I could have. That's what worry does to us. Worry doesn't help. I was flying a while ago, and I was in a WestJet flight, and I had the aisle seat, and there was a woman sitting next to me in the middle seat, and she didn't like flying. It was very obvious. I mean, when we went into takeoff, she put her head back. She's sweating. She's grabbing on to the handles. I mean, she is anxious. And then, of course, you always sit by someone like that when you get turbulence, right? And I'm thinking, she's just, oh, and she looks at me like, you're not pulling your part of the worry thing here. So I said this to her. I said, you know, I've discovered that me worrying about flying doesn't help either the pilots or the performance of the plane. It's not going to make a difference. And she looked at me and said, that's a big help right now. But it's true. If I'm in the back of the plane, my worrying is not going to affect how the plane flies and how the pilots fly the plane. If it's going down, it's going down. Worrying isn't going to help. See, worry never changes anything except maybe the quality of the worrier's health and life. And that's why Jesus says this in verse 27. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? No, they won't, but they might take some. Here's the fourth reason we shouldn't worry. Each day has enough trouble. Verse 34. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Jesus is not saying that we shouldn't plan here, by the way. He thinks the Bible tells us we should plan for tomorrow. God wants us to set goals and dream dreams. Jesus is not saying we shouldn't plan. He is saying that we need to learn to live one day at a time. Listen, when you worry about tomorrow's problems today, you miss today's blessings. Have you ever noticed that? That when you worry about tomorrow's problems today, you miss today's blessings. We can get so caught up in what's going to happen in the future. We can get so anxious about it that it sucks the life out of the day we're living right then. I remember a while ago now, several years ago, a friend was in Vancouver. He was from out of town. He was in Vancouver. And I said, I'll come over and have lunch. And I was going over there. I was totally worried and stressed out about some problems I had to deal with in the future. And, you know, what would happen. And I was all, and I met him for lunch. And we had a good lunch. But I don't know what we did, what we talked about. Because while the food was good, I wasn't listening to him. I was totally preoccupied about worrying about the future. And I got back on the boat. And I got home. And it was when I got home, I realized I saw my friend, but I didn't really spend any time with him, even though we had lunch together, because I was totally preoccupied about what might happen in the future. And when you worry about the future, it robs you of your joy. It robs you of relational blessing today. Have you noticed that? Also, here's something I've learned from the Bible, that today's resources are not sufficient for tomorrow's problems. today's resources are not sufficient for tomorrow's problems. In the Old Testament, you remember this, if you know the Old Testament at all, God gave manna to the Israelites one day at a time. Remember that? And I think he did that because he wanted the Israelites to trust him to provide. In the New Testament, when Jesus teaches the disciples to pray, he doesn't say, hey, disciples, pray, give me this day my weekly, monthly, yearly bread. Jesus says, I want you to pray, give me this day my daily bread. And I've learned that God will give me the power and the grace I need to face today's problems today, and he will give me his power and grace to face tomorrow's problems tomorrow. God will give us what we need one day at a time. Lamentations 3:22 says his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. God wants to give you his love and his grace and his power new every morning so you can face the challenges of that day. And then the next day he'll do the same thing. Here's the fifth reason why we shouldn't worry. When we worry, we're acting like someone who doesn't know God. Look at verse 31 and 32. So don't worry about these things saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Jesus was telling his followers that they shouldn't be preoccupied with what they will eat or what they will drink or what they will wear. He says that's the obsession of unbelievers. Back then, unbelievers were very obsessed with what they would wear and what they would eat and what they would drink. And not much has changed. 2,000 years ago, people that don't know Jesus are still obsessed with that stuff. Look at magazine ads. They focus on basically four things, right? Cars, food, drink, clothes. We're a culture that's obsessed with this stuff. And when you're obsessed with those things, what do you worry about? You worry about those things. And that's why Jesus says his followers should be different. Now, let me clarify. Jesus isn't saying you can't wear decent clothes or have a house or drive a car or eat or drink. For Jesus, it's a question of obsession and focus. People who don't know Jesus, as I just mentioned, are obsessed with clothes and cars and houses and food. And that's what they worry about. Yet people who follow Jesus are supposed to be different. Their focus and obsession should not be worrying about the clothes they're going to wear, the cars they're going to drive, the houses they're going to live in, the food they're going to eat, or what they're going to drink, because they have a heavenly Father who loves and cares for them. Thus, when we let worry dominate our lives, we're not only acting like unbelievers, but when you think about it, we're showing a lack of faith in God's ability to take care of us. And if you're a worrier and you're here this morning, you're going, yeah, I know all that. Got it all in my head. But I still worry. I know God's supposed to take care of me, but I still worry. So how can you get victory over worry? This passage, as I mentioned, was absolutely instrumental in me gaining victory. Here's what this passage shows us. Here's the first thing. If you want to win over worry, first, you need to choose to follow and serve and trust Jesus. You need to choose to follow and serve and trust Jesus. Back in verse 25, Jesus says, therefore, in the NIV, he says, therefore I tell you, do not worry. In other words, in light of everything I just said, don't worry. What did Jesus just say? Well, Jesus said what we looked at last week. If you were here last week, we saw that Jesus taught that everyone has a treasure. Everyone treasures something. Everyone has a worldview. And everyone serves some kind of God. And the God you choose to serve impacts all of your life, including what you worry about. When you choose to follow and serve Jesus, when you choose to have Jesus as your God, that choice will create a kingdom worldview in your life. And that kingdom worldview will eliminate much of your worry in life. See, when I choose that Jesus is going to be my focus, my obsession, my goal, my God, then he's the king, I'm not. He's the father, I'm the son. And I live in his kingdom. And as I live in his kingdom and as I follow him, my worldview becomes shaped by living in his kingdom. And then as I live in his kingdom and I live that out, I'm living out a kingdom life where Jesus is king, where Jesus is my God. And I live that kind of life, boy, it eliminates a lot of worry. The first step to winning over worry is to choose to follow Jesus and then put your trust in him. Really put your trust in him. You need to follow Jesus and then you need to put your trust in him. That's the first thing. Here's the second thing. Second thing is you need to choose to focus on God. You need to choose to focus on God. Let me share something I've learned from my life. In the past, when I became consumed by worry, it was always, always because my focus was on my circumstances, not on my God. Whenever worry would get a stronghold in my life, it was because I was focused on my circumstances, not on my God. And what is true in my life is probably also true in your life. When you are gripped by worry, it is probably because you're focusing on your circumstances, not on your God. Everyone has a choice. You can focus on your circumstances or you can focus on your God. And so if you're here this morning and you came to church and as you were driving to church, you were worrying about something, let me ask you that question. As you drove to church and you're all anxious and worried, where was your focus? Was your focus on the God you were coming to worship or was your focus on your circumstances? I almost guarantee you, your focus when you're worried is on your circumstances, not on your God. And what I've learned to do when I start to worry is to ask myself, where is my focus? And that question catches me, and I'm able to shift my focus from my circumstances to my God. And can I encourage you to do the same thing? When worry starts to grip you, ask yourself, where is my focus? Some of you need to do that right now. Where is my focus? Is it on my circumstances or is it on my God? And then here's the third thing. First thing you need to do is decide to follow Jesus and put your trust in him. Second thing you need to do is focus on your God, not your circumstances. Here's the third thing you need to do. Jesus says you need to seek my kingdom. You need to seek my kingdom. Rather than seeking and being obsessed with earthly stuff, Jesus calls us to seek his kingdom and live rightly. Matthew 6:33, it says this. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. What if you took all that energy that you're using to worry and you harnessed it and you focused it instead on seeking the kingdom of God and living as a kingdom person? Listen, when you put your focus on Jesus and make the decision to live as a kingdom person, here's what happens. Follow this. When I decide that I'm going to live a kingdom person, that means I'm going to walk humbly with Jesus, which means I'm going to surrender to Jesus on a daily basis. I'm going to go, Jesus, this day is about you, not me. I'm going to walk through this day with you. Where's my focus? It's on Jesus, not on me. And then I say, I'm going to go out into the world and I'm going to love mercy. I'm going to seek to serve and bless others. Where's my focus? On others, not on me. And then I'm going to act justly. I'm going to go focus on the poor and care for them in some way. Where's my focus? On the poor, not on me. Do you see the shift in focus? Most of your worrying is me worrying. It's self-absorbed worrying. It's because the focus is on you. Most of your worrying that you do in life, not all of it, but most of the worrying you do in life is because you're focused on yourself and your circumstances, not on Jesus and others. And so what happens is, what happens is when you decide that you're really going to go out and you're going to take your eyes off yourself and put them on Jesus and others, a lot of your worry dissipates. Because when I walk humbly with Jesus and I go into my day in a surrendered posture before him and say, I want to walk with you through the day, that means I'm putting Jesus in charge. I'm not in charge. And that lessens my worry. When I go out into my day saying, I want to serve and bless others, it's going to be about others. It's not going to be about me. That lessens your worry. I read an article a couple of weeks ago about a counselor who had a woman as a client, and this woman was racked with anxiety. I mean racked with anxiety. She was anxious and worried about everything. But as the counselor interacted with her, he really caught on right away that most of her worry was self-absorbed. She was really me-focused, my health, my finances, my stuff. It was all about her. And that's what she was worried about. Because generally when we worry a lot, it's because we're self-focused. And so here's what the counselor said. He said, I want you to go out. And I want you, before you come back in 2 weeks, to go out and find somewhere that you can just care for other people. She thought that was kind of a strange idea, but she went out and she found a rest home. And she started going to this rest home, and all she did at the rest home was just care for some of the residents there, sit down there, talk to them, play games with them. And the counselor said when she came back 2 weeks later, she was a totally and completely different person. She was no longer struggling and racked with anxiety. What happened? She changed her focus. And one of the ways you can beat worry and beat anxiety is by taking your eyes off yourself and saying, I'm going to love mercy. I'm going to be a kingdom person that loves mercy. I'm going to put my focus on others, not on myself. And then when you go out and you say, I'm going to be a kingdom person, I'm going to act justly towards the poor. That means you'll get around the poor. And when you get around the poor, you figure out you don't have a lot to worry about. I go down to Mexico and I see people, families living in cardboard boxes. Boy, does that lessen your worry load. You realize you really don't have a lot to worry about. So we need to seek the kingdom. Not only because it's the right way to live, but because when we live the right way, we start to live how we're wired up. Not only do we get blessed, but we find that our anxiety and our worry lessens. Then there's one more. This is a fourth one. It's not in this passage, but I wanted to include it this morning because it's been very powerful in my life. And it's the fourth one is this, pray. First, we make the decision. We're going to follow Jesus. We're really going to trust him. Secondly, we're going to focus on God, not our circumstances. That's going to be a trigger. When I start to worry, I'm going to say, whoa, I'm worrying. Where's my focus? Guaranteed it'll be on your circumstances. Turn your eyes towards Jesus. Thirdly, you're going to seek to live as a kingdom person. You're going to humbly walk with him and surrender to him each day so he's in charge. And then you're going to get your eyes off your self-focused self, and you're just going to start looking out at others, and you're going to care for the poor, and you're going to care for the people around you. And then fourthly, you're going to pray. Paul says this in Philippians 4:6. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Paul is telling us to worry about nothing, pray about everything. And that's what we need to do. We need to pray about everything. You need to go talk to God about how you're feeling, what's going on in your life. Thank him for the good things he's doing. Have a posture of gratitude. But also, God is your father, and you're his child, and he wants to hear from you, and he wants to hear what's going on in your life, and he wants to hear about the good stuff, and he wants to hear about the struggles. And notice what Paul says will happen when we pour out our heart to God like that. Look at this. This is great. Verse 7. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. When you go to Jesus and you pour out your heart, you will experience God's peace, which surpasses all understanding. I've seen that happen again and again, not only in my life, but in many of your lives, where you're walking through valleys and you suddenly lift your eyes to Jesus and you start to call out to him, and suddenly his peace invades in the midst of your darkness. I've seen that happen over and over, and suddenly people are looking at you because you have a peace that you shouldn't have in your situation, but you have it because we have a faithful Father who wants to give us his peace, which surpasses all understanding. And Paul explains how this happens. Look at this. He says, the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. This reminds me of a sentry on duty on the wall of an ancient city. And the sentry's job is to stop anyone from entering the city and then only allow the right people in. And that's what God's peace does. It stands guard at the gateway to your mind, keeping worry out. And I can tell you from personal experience that Paul's words are true. and that God is faithful, and that he truly will give you a peace that surpasses all understanding. So what's got you worried today, this week, this month? Job, finances, personal problems, relational problems, marriage, health, work, friends, school. I could stand up here for a long time and list them out. But what's got you worried? Whatever it is, can I say this? The worry you're experiencing right now, the weight you're experiencing because of the worry, the symptoms you're experiencing because of the worry, do not have to have the final word in your life. Jesus made it possible to live without the grip of worry. He wants to give you victory. He wants to set the captive free. And it begins with you deciding to follow Jesus and really placing your trust in him, not in your money, not in your cars, not in your house, not in other people, but saying, I'm going to place my ultimate trust right here in Jesus. Starts there. Then it works, goes to the next step where you need to remind yourself, shift my focus from my circumstances to my God. And then seek to live as a kingdom person. Instead of being me-focused, be Jesus and other-focused. And then pray. When you do those things, you'll begin a journey to victory. Oh, if you're a worrier like me, you'll still get those little arrows in every now and then. But you can still have victory. And I want to tell you today, you don't have to walk out these doors without starting the journey towards wholeness and towards freedom so you can experience the abundant life that Jesus wants you to experience. The choice is yours. Worry or freedom. For me, it was a simple choice. I hope it's a simple choice for you as well. Let's pray. Father, thank you for all your grace and your goodness. Thank you that they are new every morning and that you want us to experience them that way. And so, God, there are people in this room who are just weighed down today. They are racked with worry. They're experiencing all kinds of symptoms. And yet, Jesus, you say, I want to set them free. I want people to experience an abundant life. And so today, I pray for any who don't know you, that they will begin following you and putting their trust in you so you can begin to work in their lives. I pray for those in this room that know you but are trusting in their money, in their stuff, in other things, that they will shift their focus to you and really place their trust in you. Father, there's some people here today, they just really need to shift off their circumstances and onto you. May you empower them by your Spirit to do that. May all of us commit to living 6-8 lives and get our eyes off ourselves and onto you and onto others. And as we do all of that, God, may you give us freedom because you're a faithful Father. You're a good Father. In Jesus' name, amen.